Hello, and welcome to our program, the National Geographic Society, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Jim Cruz, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the National Geographic magazine. Our first article is Reimagining Dinosaurs by Michael Greshko. On a chilly January afternoon, Susanna Made Mint stands on the shore of a London lake, staring down a pack of dinosaurs. Made Mint, curator of the UK's Natural History Museum, has come with me to tour the Crystal Palace Park, which in 1854 included the world's first public dinosaur showcase. The sculptures were a smash hit at their unveiling and sparked the dinomania that's been with us ever since. More than a century before Steven Spielberg dazzled the world with Jurassic Park, the Crystal Palace dinosaurs drew 2 million visitors a year for 3 decades straight, and Charles Dickens name-dropped one in his novel Bleak House. To grant us a detailed look at these 166-year-old monuments, Eleanor Michael and Sarah Jane Slaughter, trustees for the nonprofit Friends of Crystal Palace Dinosaurs, guide us through a metal gate to the banks of the lake, where we don waders to make our crossing. I misjudge my first step and fall into the water, clambering onto the island shore, dripping wet and smelling of pond scum. "Welcome to Dinosaur Island," Slaughter exclaims, grinning from ear to ear. Tucked in among ferns and spongy beds of moss, the pale green sculptures are imposing, even imperious. The park's 2 iguanodons, a Cretaceous herbivore, resemble huge iguanas with nubs on their snouts, which scientists now understand were spikes on their thumbs. It's tempting to dismiss the assemblage as outdated or the stuff of B-movies, but Made Mint sees the Crystal Palace dinosaurs for what they really are, the bleeding edge of scientific knowledge at the time, based on comparisons between living animals and the few fossils available to researchers. Scientists still use this technique to recreate the fantastic beasts, filling in the soft gaps in time-worn fossils. Bones don't preserve evidence of cheeks on ancient faces, Made Mint says, so as we pause between 2 of the statues, but we reconstruct them as being there because it works. Animals today have cheeks. The park's sculptures use the same process, she says. They were completely reasonable to reconstruct them like this from what they knew. In the nearly 2 centuries since, scientists have learned far more about dinosaurs than the builders of Crystal Palace Park ever could have dreamed. Now our understanding is seeing another revolution, one fueled by a wealth of fresh fossils and innovative research techniques, the resulting scientific bonanza is forcing us to rethink popular visions of these ancient animals. For several years, scientists have unveiled an average of about 50 new dinosaur species a year, a pace unthinkable decades ago. The updated menagerie ranges from pint-sized flyers with bat wings to long-necked herbivores that were Earth's biggest ever land animals. Medical scanners, particle accelerators, and chemical analysis are letting researchers virtually separate rock from bone and see fossils' tiniest hidden features. From the colors of dinosaurs' eggs and feathers to the shapes of their brains, our Dino Encyclopedia now includes unprecedented details on how these animals were born, grew up, and lived. With these tools in hand, scientists today are not just overhauling our pop culture notions about dinosaurs. In a sense, they are bringing these remarkable creatures back to life. When it comes to dinosaur discovery, I do genuinely think the golden age is right now, says University of Edinburgh paleontologist Steve Broussard. It's fitting that the dinosaurs are so persistently captivating. For 150 million years, they dominated landscapes across ancient Earth, and they lived on what was now all 7 continents. The dinosaurs were hugely successful during their reign, adapting into a bevy of shapes and sizes. Broussat and others estimate that scientists have cataloged more than 1,100 species of extinct dinosaurs, and that's just a subset of the species that once lived, because fossilization occurred in only a few environments. Their story continues to this day. When an asteroid slammed into Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula 66 million years ago and wiped out three-quarters of life on Earth, one group of dinosaurs survived, the feathery creatures we now call birds. Western science has formally studied dinosaurs only since the 1820s, but what we've learned reveals a lot about how land animals are affected by our ever-changing planet. As continents drifted apart and recombined, and as temperatures and sea levels rose and fell, dinosaurs persisted. What lessons can we take from their responses and resilience? Telling such an epic story requires a worldwide hunt for dinosaurs' bones from Alaska to Zimbabwe. Paleontologists are delivering as never before. One of the richest regions for new fossil finds is North Africa. Someone sweltering in the 105-degree heat of the Moroccan Sahara may find it tough to imagine that this landscape was once lush with waterways deep enough to host car-sized fish. But National Geographic explorer Nizar Ibrahim and his crew of paleontologists have returned to the region for years, chasing one of the weirdest dinosaurs ever found, a river monster called Spinosaurus aegypticus. The first Spinosaurus fossils were discovered in Egypt in the 1910s, but were destroyed in a World War II bombing raid in Germany. Still, surviving field notes, sketches, and photographs of the original fossils, along with a few isolated bones and teeth found later in the 20th century, hinted that this mysterious sail-backed creature had some kind of aquatic lifestyle. It had conical teeth, well adapted for nabbing fish, so paleontologists surmise that it perhaps prowled the shallows and plucked fish out of the water, as herons, grizzly bears do. Ibrahim and his colleagues therefore made a huge splash in 2014 when they described a new partial skeleton of the animal found in Morocco and used it to make the case that Spinosaurus spent much of its time swimming and feeding in the water. To buttress the claim, his team returned to the arid site in 2018 with the support of the National Geographic Society in hopes of finding more parts of the creature. The dig was brutal. To clear tons of rock, the crew brought the region's only working jackhammer, which broke within minutes, forcing them to seek repairs from the seller of the defective tool. Several team members were hospitalized for exhaustion once they returned home. But fueled by Nutella and the promise of discovery, they started finding one vertebra after another from the dinosaur's tail, sometimes just minutes and inches apart. The diggers were so giddy over the trove of fossils, they drummed out musical beats with their rock hammers and broke into song. Shaped like a paddle, some 17 feet long, the unearthed appendage, unveiled earlier this year at the journal Nature, is the most extreme aquatic adaptation ever found in a large predatory dinosaur. It's a hard-won revelation that stretches the outer bounds of how researchers thought dinosaurs moved through their environments. This is going to become a symbol, an icon of African paleontology. The story of Spinosaurus, with its desert vistas and historical intrigue, feels as if it could have been lifted from a movie script. But subsequent research on the fossil tail has shown just how different today's study of dinosaurs can be. As part of his work, Ibrahim traveled from Casablanca to Cambridge, Massachusetts, and the Harvard University lab of biologist George Lauder. By his own admission, Lauder is no paleontologist. He specializes in studying how aquatic animals move in water, using high-speed cameras and robots to figure out how they swim. To put Spinosaurus to the test, Lauder mounts an 8-inch-long orange plastic cutout of the dinosaur's tail to a metal rod attached to a $5,000 force transducer, part of a robotic flapper that dangles from the ceiling. It's like a medieval torture device, quips Harvard paleobiologist Stephanie Pierce, who designed and led the experiments as Lauder lowers the robot into a flume. Once submerged, the mounted tail springs to life, flapping back and forth and sending data from the apparatus to nearby computers. Pierce and Lauder's results show that the dinosaur's tail could deliver more than 8 times the forward thrust in water of the tails of related land-loving dinosaurs. A beast longer than Tyrannosaurus rex appears to have swum its way through rivers like a crocodile. Pierce says, where we started was a dinosaur paleontologist gets in touch with another paleontologist who gets in touch with a fish microbiologist. If you want to do modern cutting-edge research, it takes a team of people from various diverse backgrounds. These kinds of interdisciplinary lab experiments now define dinosaur research. Modern computers let scientists crunch through huge data sets of skeletal features and build dinosaur family trees. Close examinations of bone slices thinner than sheets of printer paper reveal in detail the length and timing of dinosaurs' growth spurts. And with the same models used to forecast climate change, paleontologists can virtually sling an asteroid at Earth as it was 66 million years ago to watch dinosaur habitats shrink in the resulting apocalyptic winter. Few technologies have so profoundly altered our view of dinosaurs as medical CT scanning, which is now a standard in the paleo toolkit. We've been able to pull all of these extinct bones into a computer where we can do things with them, says Ohio University paleontologist Lawrence Whitmer. We can reconstruct missing bits and do crash tests and run simulations and better understand how these animals actually functioned. Scanning also eliminates a past trade-off, whether to sacrifice a fossil soft tissue imprints to whittle down to bones. Stories abound of dinosaur skin impressions being ground to dust during preparation. Now researchers virtually cleave bone from rock. It makes you wonder what things have we overlooked or bulldozed through, says Mark Whitten, a paleo artist of the UK's University of Portsmouth. The field's modern sense of caution has yielded an avalanche of discoveries. Recently, Whitmer used CT scans to show that major groups of dinosaurs evolved distinct cranial air conditioning systems to keep their brains from overheating. Armored dinosaurs such as the ankylosaur Euplocephalus relied on their nasal passages, which evolved into ducts shaped like crazy straws to shed heat as the animal breathed, cooling the blood destined for the brain. By contrast, large predators such as T-Rex vented excess heat with large snout sinuses. Like blacksmiths working bellows, the dinosaurs flexed their jaws to force air in and out of the chambers, causing moisture to evaporate and wick away like sweat on a summer day. CT scans can also give us a sense of how dinosaurs moved and changed as they grew. Using X-ray videos and computer animations of alligators and birds, the University of South Florida's Ryan Carney built 3D models that revealed in 2016 that the feathered dinosaur, Archaeopteryx, could flap its wings in a way that enabled self-powered flight. And to understand how the Patagonian herbivore Musarus grew up, Argentine researcher Alejandro Otero assembled scans of the dinosaur's bones in a computer to simulate its stance at different ages. Just like human babies, Musarus hatchlings walked on all fours and then matured into walking more upright on their two hind legs. The deeper paleontologists can look into each new bit of bone, the more they can unravel precious details about the past, and that means they've had to seriously scale up their tools. In the northwestern corner of Grenoble, France, on a triangular spit of land where two rivers meet, a gray ring half a mile around rises out of the smog. It's as if aliens had touched down in the Alps for some skiing and a spot of fondue. The eerie structure of the European synchrotron radiation facility, which in recent years has become a mecca for paleontologists thanks to staff researcher Paul Tafarol. The ESRF is a particle accelerator that flings electrons around at nearly the speed of light. As the electron beam makes its laps, magnets along the circular track bend the particulate stream, some of the world's most intense X-rays, which researchers often use to study new materials and medicines. Taffarel specializes in using the X-rays to look inside fossils that typical CT scanners can't make sense of, at resolutions those scanners can't reach. As we tour the accelerator's steel and concrete innards, I ask Taffarel just how discerning the machine can get. He gestures to a display case with 3D printed examples of past fossils he's X-rayed. Portions of one, a burrow, more than 250 million years old, were scanned finely enough to resolve details as narrow as a human red blood cell. While when conditions are just right, Taffarel's scans can show features less than a hundredth of that width, such as the power of a magnifying glass the size of a football stadium. With great power, though, comes great responsibility. To illustrate the importance of safety to new students, Taffarel uses an unfiltered beam to light objects on fire and roast coffee beans. Most of the beams we are using to scan fossils would kill you in just a few seconds, he says. The ESRF's intensity has worked wonders for Dennis Vontin of Sweden's Uppsala University, who used it to virtually slice through archaeopteryx fossils and trace out the cross-sections of the bones in exacting detail. Because bones must withstand the strain of flight, their geometric structure can speak of the animal's flying styles. Through the dinosaur's anatomy, didn't allow for a fully bird-like flap. The cross-sections of its wing bones most closely resemble those of living pheasants, which fly in short bursts. It's a striking hint at how the 150-million-year-old creature, an iconic snapshot of dinosaurs' evolution into birds, navigated the Jurassic evolution into birds, navigated the Jurassic island chains it may once have called home. Kimmy Chappell, South Africa's University of the Witwatersrand, has used the facility to look inside the world's oldest known dinosaur eggs, which belong to the southern African herbivore, Masopandylus. The X-rays let her reconstruct the embryonic skull's inside, down to tiny teeth. The dinosaur would have either shed or reabsorbed before hatching. Modern gecko embryos also have these proto-teeth. Despite the fact that geckos and dinosaurs' last common ancestors lived more than a quarter billion years ago. Thanks in part to geckos, Chappell figured out that the dinosaur embryos made it three-fifths of the way through their incubation before dying, an intimate glimpse into lives cut short more than 200 million years ago. That makes them feel much more real, she tells me. Each spring, Beijing's Institute of Vertebrate Paleontology and Paleoanthropology welcomes its own symbol of life's ephemeral nature as a blanket of cherry and plum blossoms unfurls across the Chinese capital. To Jingmai O'Connor, the scene is impossibly charming. Gargoyles sculpted in the likeness of ancient fish, dinosaurs, and saber-toothed cats look out from the main building onto gaggles of laughing school children. It's like paleontology Disneyland, almost, the IVPP researcher says. On the inside, though, the IVPP is more time machine than theme park. Since the 1990s, farmers, researchers, and fossil dealers in northeastern China's Liang province have brought in hundreds of fossils that have upended our understanding of how dinosaurs looked and behaved. Many preserve traces of feathers that confirm plumage first evolved before dinosaurs ever flew. Some fossils also reveal in dramatic fashion that dinosaurs, other than birds' closest ancestors, also tried defying gravity. Few dinosaurs better reflect the constantly shifting picture than the Scansoratirius, an obscure group of Jurassic dinosaurs with a mouthful of a name. Some scientists once thought that the crow-sized animals used their 4-inch long fingers to nab bugs, like modern eye-eyes do. But in 2015, IVPP researchers unveiled a bizarre member of the group that turned out to be a lost dead end in the origins of flight. Unlike any other dinosaur ever found, Yi Qi had bat-like membranous wings that it supported with its long outer fingers and bony wrist spurs. That's what the story is. One very important specimen. Really just kind of knocked everything that we thought we knew upside down, O'Connor says. China's fossils and others from equally remarkable sites around the world preserve vestiges of all kinds of tissue. In 2014, researchers announced they found an Edmontosaurus regalis, a type of hadrosaur, in western Canada that has a coxcomb of mummified flesh, like what you see on a rooster. This is a structure nobody knew the dinosaur had, despite knowing of the species for nearly a century. Dinosaurs' bones had shown that the creature used exaggerated body parts to woo mates and jockey for social status, just like modern animals, or to find their kin. With this dinosaur and others bearing soft tissues, paleontologists are seeing hints of these displays' true splendor. In a few cases, researchers can even infer some of the animal's original chemistries. In 2008, scientists led by paleontologist Jacob Venter, now of the UK's University of Bristol, figured out that melanosomes, tiny subcellular sacs filled with pigment melanin, could fossilize. The discovery opened the door to a field once thought impossible, figuring out the colors of distinct dinosaur skin and feathers based on the shape, size, and arrangements of their melanosomes. These reconstructions came with caveats. Living animals employ other pigments besides melanin, and some extinct dinosaurs probably did too. Even so, recent finds have been astonishing. The feathered dinosaur Anchorionus, which lived in what is now China, had a reddish crest. A certain Certosaurus Pitosaurus had red-brown skin that contributed to an early form of dino camouflage. In 2018, an international team reported that the feathers of Kai Hong, a dinosaur that lived in the same region as Yi Qi, once simmered with all the colors of the rainbow. Even more of life's molecules may last through deep time. In the 2000s, North Carolina State University paleontologist Mary Schweitzer made waves when she found that some dinosaur fossils, including T-Rex specimens, contained preserved cells, blood vessels, and maybe even vestiges of proteins. Ever since, Schweitzer and a growing cohort of scientists have asked how such substances could persist and what we could learn from them. At her lab in New Haven, Connecticut, Yale PhD candidate Jasmina Ovinen shows me how she grinds up a small piece of Allosaurus bone for analysis. She transfers the dust into a tube and invites me to add an acid solution, which fizzes and turns a deep brown. It reminds me always a little bit of Coca-Cola, she says. Under a microscope, the gunk left behind includes spongy mahogany chunks shot through with black squiggles. I can't believe what I'm seeing. The brown schmutz was once protein-rich tissue. The squiggles, the outlines of bone cells that lived more than 145 million years ago. After millions of years, heat and pressure often will transform these kinds of microscopic remains through chemical reactions, despite their altered state. The materials hold invaluable clues to dinosaur behavior. In a 2018 study, Wayman showed that when certain dinosaur eggshells were struck with a laser, the light that scatters back reveals degraded protofyrin and biliverdin, compounds that give modern bird eggs color and speckling. Based on such analysis, the calcified eggs of the Velociraptor relative Deinochilus had a bluish hue, suggesting that, like modern birds with similarly colorful eggs, the dinosaur had open-air nests and brooded its young. By contrast, fossilized Mosasaurus embryos from Patagonia are surrounded by what was once leathery eggshell, according to a study Wieman co-authored this year. The find suggests not only that these dinosaurs buried their nests like modern sea turtles do, but also that the first dinosaurs' eggs were similarly soft. That adds a twist to dinosaurs' evolutionary story since it implies hard eggshells, which are found throughout the group, must not have a common origin. Instead, the trait evolved at least three times. More than anything else, scientific advances show us that dinosaurs weren't the one-note menaces we sometimes see in popular culture. They courted each other with elaborate displays and squabbled for social status. They suffered broken bones and infections. They snapped after bugs and nibbled on ferns. Their days were as rich and varied, frenzied and humdrum, as those of the birds outside our windows. Even the biggest, baddest T-Rex sometimes took a nap. It's a realization that hits me as I walk through the lab of Yale Assistant Professor Bart Anjan Boulard, whose cramped office is just down the hall from Wayman's. Boulard might work in a geology department, but he's taken only three geology classes in his life. He studies fossils and the embryos of living animals to try and unlock how ancient dinosaurs came to be birds. If anyone could genetically tweak a bird and make a chickensaurus, it's probably Boulard. In one 2012 study, he found that bird skulls are riffs on ancient dinosaurs' juvenile skulls, developmentally speaking. Young dinosaur skulls had thinner bones and more flexibility, which birds leveraged to evolve beaks. Parts of the old toolkit survived. Boulard also has shown that blocking the beak's key molecular pathways can give chicken embryos archaeological snouts. Across the avian body plan, Boulard has found other striking examples of how bird embryos essentially summarize their own evolutionary history. He shows me a microscope image of a quail embryo's forelimb, which looks exactly like the arm of a raptor dinosaur, down to its tiny dinosaurian hand. "That's Deoncleus. Look at that," Boulard exclaims as he points at his laptop. "Only closer to hatching is this ancestral form, overwritten to become the familiar avian wing. Long after I leave Yale, I can't get that little quail claw out of my head. After years of reporting on extinct dinosaurs, I've grown dangerously accustomed to thinking about them in the past tense. But they are still with us, as ghosts within the eggs of their avian descendants. The links between past and present get clearer in London, as our timing on Dinosaur Island draws to a close. While the dinosaurs' world ended in a flash, the Crystal Palace dinosaurs face a slower, more creeping threat. The sculptures have been added to the UK's Registry of At-Risk Heritage, but a lack of upkeep that has let cracks splinter through many of their discolored exteriors. In May, part of the face broke off the island's Megalosaurus, damage caused either by deterioration or possibly by vandals. Conservation efforts are being planned, led by Friends of Crystal Palace Dinosaurs. With the need for renewal all around us, I ask Maidment how today's scientists would build their version of Crystal Palace Park. Maidment offers an elegant answer. She'd fill it with birds. Dinosaurs are the most diverse terrestrial vertebrates alive today, she says, and as a flock of gulls glides overhead and splashes down into the waters beyond. They never stopped. This has been Reimagining Dinosaurs by Michael Greshko. Well, thank you for listening to the National Geographic Magazine. You can listen to OWL Radio on our specially tuned radio, or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Well, thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. Until next time, this is Jim Cruz saying goodbye from OWL Radio.